Hey everyone, it is our Sunday weekly warm up. Holy moly, can you believe it? It's already 8 p.m. Eastern here in our Teach Better community. We're able to go live every single Sunday to kind of welcome you into the week ahead, talk through some fun, you know, weekend plans, but also give you some food for thought that you might have in the back of your mind as you head into a wonderful December week that is kicking off here in just a few hours. Brian Fennell is in the house. I know many of you know her. She's not a like new face, but definitely excited to talk to Bree and talk shop, hear about your weekend, talk about the week. We're also going to focus on play, some good news stories and everything in between. So we are slowly easing in. We actually went live a little early to get everyone ready for the show. So as you are prepping, as you know, maybe you're food prepping right now in your kitchen or relaxing with your family, however you like to consume our Sunday weekly warm up, feel free to get cozy and we'll be right back. Are here for our Sunday weekly warm-up. Bree, how are you, girl?
I'm doing great. Lucas and Max were doing a little dancing in the background, so we're all ready for this Sunday weekly warm-up.
Getting prepped, excited. I feel like this is like the good, like the last element of my weekend that kind of wraps it up, gives some good vibes, kind of see my teacher clan, talk shop a little bit, and then have a relaxing evening as it like sets me up for a good Monday, I think.
Absolutely.
So Bree, we have a ton to talk about, but in case, before we get to all that, and I forget to do this, in case people aren't familiar with you here in our Teach Better community, which must mean you friends like you're new or you haven't really been like, you know, too connected to internally who's on the team. Bree, you've been on the team for ages. You've done a ton of different stuff. You're an incredible educator. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I actually have been connected with the team for a long time, even way back with Twitter. I used to get on there and do some Twitter chats with the family. And then I was an ambassador, and we just had those ambassador applications open. So I can't wait to see who is welcomed into this ambassador family. Then I was a lead ambassador, and then I became somebody who was on the internal team. I'm a training and development specialist with the Teach Better team. And actually, I just went back and looked, and I used to blog all the time for the team about play. And so I'm excited to talk a little bit about that with you tonight.
I have a ton of questions for you that I've submitted as listener questions, and I knew that we weren't going to address them until I had you on camera with me. So this is going to be perfect. And for those of you who have been eager for some of that elementary support, but even just the concept of play, which by the way, should be seen at all grade levels, we'll be able to kind of talk on that educational topic today during our time together. I know Brian's making fun of us because we got started early, but Brian, we were ready and we wanted to like ease into the conversation. So, hey everyone, thank you for being here. And Bree, people are very excited to see you on screen. You've not been on a live for the Teach Better team enough this year. Like that's just my blanket statement. It has not happened enough.
Well, you can have me on anytime. And we need to talk about why I'm here and not your normal Sunday co-host. We need to wish a big happy, happy birthday to Brad. And hopefully he is enjoying all that time with his family and just being his awesome self.
Brad, we are so, so appreciative of you. Brad Hughes, you have changed my life. You've changed so many people's lives with your existence, your dedication to support educators, and just your absolutely banging personality. You are just the best human on the planet. We hope you have an amazing birthday, and we hope that you are spending this time with incredible family and friends surrounding you. And, you know, we're going to continue to celebrate Brad's birthday all week because it cannot just be a one-day event.
Brad's the best.
Bria, I was going to say you were here because I've been dying to be live with you. And so that's why I feel like I've been messaging you for weeks being like, when are you coming on the show? When are you doing something with me that I can hang out with you? And then, of course, this was just like the perfect timing.
Yes, I love being live with you, Ray, or any chance to hang out with the team.
Well, and we talk a lot, you know, I know you mentioned it, but I feel like we should do a little like dive deep into it. You've been affiliated with our team for so long, and so many educators, even like those in the comments, like good afternoon to Brian and Brianna. Like we're seeing so many people, we have a Facebook user commenting, like, we love having people share their journeys of being connected to the team, how you either evolved by getting more involved in the team or how you evolved as an educator because of the team. If any of you are willing to share your little Teach Better stories in the comments, we'd love to see it. But Bree, you were a contributor to the Teach Better community for so long, even just before becoming an ambassador. And then I remember the day, I remember vividly where I was sitting when I was in a meeting that they were like, we're going to steal Bree from the ambassadors and like make her come to the Teach Better team.
Oh man. I know. Andrea and Megan are so fantastic. They started this ambassador program. They had this amazing idea and I couldn't be more thankful for them and the time and just the way the ambassador program helped me grow as an educator and I am still in the classroom. And so I will peek into their Voxer group and get ideas. I love hanging out in the Facebook group with the ambassadors. So, I mean, really, it's such an amazing program. And I just can't wait to see who is going to be leading those ambassadors and continuing to be a part of that family.
Yeah, for those of you who may not have taken advantage during our month of Better in the month of November, we had a lot of different opportunities to get involved, one of which was to apply to be an ambassador. So if you missed that deadline, don't worry. There'll be an opportunity in the future for you to be able to apply. But if you did apply, as a reminder, it is possible that you may not get in on your first try only because it is so number based. Like we want to make sure that we keep that group small so we can commit everything humanly possible to each and every one of you. And still, I think even though we keep it small, there's so much more we could be doing. So we're constantly trying to revamp like the best possible way to support our ambassadors. And the other thing was the application for the Grid Method cohort. That Grid Method certification is exciting. I mean, like we're starting to look at applications. I know in those committees, as early as this week, I have a meeting tomorrow kind of kicking off the next steps for both of those programs, looking at applicants and trying to get some stuff in order.
What's so amazing about the Grid too, I know we're seeing some Grid in the chat because sometimes people get involved with the team because they have an idea for a Grid or they're really interested in mastery learning. But right now, like going into the holiday months and there's, a break coming up for some of us. I feel like my kids in my class, and I have third graders, they're really taking advantage of the Grid right now. And they're learning a lot of different ways where they're kind of like driving their own learning and they're looking forward to that Grid time. And so even if you haven't started anything with the Grid, if you go to teachbetter.com/the Grid Method, like you can find resources on there or in our private Facebook group of grids. You could get started just introducing some of that now, even before break happens.
Oh my gosh, Bree, you literally are speaking my language already as we get into this conversation, because I was with a school district or a school, it's like an ESC. So it's like a bunch of different districts and they like come together through this ESC in the state of Ohio. I know we were texting when I was there. You're like, where are you? Are you close? I'm like, I'm not.
Are you close to me?
I'm like,
I'm not close enough for coffee. That's what we say. Are you close enough for coffee? Like anybody.
Otherwise I would have called you, you know, girl. But so we're with this ESC and we do this 2-day Grid workshop. So like the teachers leave understanding the Grid Method with a Grid design. And there's nothing else left to do except like to implement, which is a scary step. Like it's scary to be like, I've looked at something for the last 2 days. with a trainer in this supportive community, now I'm going to choose to like officially dive in the pool. And sometimes that's where we start to see educators get a little weary because it's scary to do something new, even though you're prepared. And one of the big discussions we had at the end of our workshop, just kind of coincidentally, but thank God it happened, was utilizing right before break, like right before winter break, to do your first grid. And maybe it's not a content grid, or maybe it is. Maybe it's a review of the information you've done over the semester. Maybe it's just like social and emotional skills. Maybe it's some of that like work that, you know, you never really get to that you want to expose students to. Bree, one of the things that teachers brainstormed is so many educators do team-based time to like identify missing work and have students turn in those last things to get the final grades. Put that in your grid. Like have students go through and essentially audit that they've turned in those big projects, that they still have retained those big skills. And you could do it for like a week. Like it's a mini grid. It's like a Monday through Friday or whatever. You know, it was just like, I think it gave people peace of mind that even though some of you listening like might be grid experts, like you can also like do little ones, and there's no shame in that. That's good for our kids too.
Absolutely. And I think it helps with the planning on like my end as a teacher is like, I know that I have good, like quality material up until break and I'm hitting those standards. And right now the grid that we're working on has to do with character traits and diving into, it's like a read aloud that I'm doing with the kids, but they have all these activities that go along with it. But they are looking forward to having some of those choices as well. And we know like getting into break time, sometimes we get a little squirrely and they have things that are already planned. I love this like mini grid idea, but also like the tech piece sometimes gets people overwhelmed. And for this grid, it's on a paper, it's a paper grid. And we are working through it that way. And then when we go back, after break, then we're going to bring in some more of those digital things. So it doesn't have to be scary if the technology piece is something that is like hanging you up, put it on paper.
Yeah, I love that recommendation, Bree. We had a lot of conversation about modalities as well, like looking at how you're delivering the information, and it can be different. Like that's what I love about the grid is you might do it one way in one section and then change it up. Or even if you find some consistency in a grid, you have full autonomy to just switch it up the next time you try it out. And that's okay. It gives your students the ability to have different learning opportunities. I love the concept of choice being incorporated. These are all things that I think educators already think of, but sometimes, and you know this, Bree, like sometimes when we try something new, we feel like everything that we've done previously has to like go to the wayside. And the reality is, I feel like so much of my coaching, I was specifically doing in Ohio last week, it was just showing them that this new system marries very well with what they're already confident with, which we all know that that's the case. Once you get into it, you're like, oh yeah, this is like practically what I did before, just a little different.
Right. And I feel like too, once you have it on a grid, like you're going to change it based on your class's needs anyway, but there might be things in there that help you remember like, oh yeah, I did this really great thing with this group before that was, you know, DOK4. And I want to really try to incorporate that again. And you already have it there. So you don't have to remember and pull out those things because you already have it ready.
Can I also say, Bree, the one thing I thought of, and this is weird because obviously like you and I support teachers with the grid method constantly, but because this is so top of mind, I got back like Friday night late. So I'm like, literally, this is the work I was just doing before this weekend. But I realized that on our grid workshop page, we have so many resources. And I think all the ones I'm going to mention are also on just our free resources page over at teachbear.com/thegridmethod. We have so many resources that maybe at the workshop are a little too advanced, but now that you've been working on it for a while, can be really beneficial. Everything from Don't Forget Friends, we have that entire like intro grid download that essentially creates your introduction grid for you. We have the frequently asked teacher version, parent version, and admin version. If you're trying something and you want to give your admin some support or like a a mentee, that some information on the grid. We have that free course, but then the one I really like, which has nothing to do with the grid, but I really like the download, is that question stem document that levels your questions based on Webb's depth of knowledge. I just think is the easiest tool to use. And it doesn't matter who you are. If you're an educator, we can all be better at questioning. That doc is awesome. Like, so good.
I feel like too, if people don't know, like if you, I look at the team's Instagram a lot and I'm really trying to like be very cognizant of like figuring out what people need on Instagram or, you know, just supporting teachers through that platform. But one of the things that I saw as I was doing my work today is that people are talking about going away from small group and how they're afraid of that. Like, because there's such a big push for explicit instruction or science of reading that they're feeling like they can't do as much small group. And I feel like with the grid method, you have things that the kids are doing that are, that's not new instruction, that's not busy work, that's already planned and is tailored to your students' needs. So I was just thinking like, okay, this is something that we need to start talking about more in our group because it's fitting the need that we're seeing right now in our classrooms. And small group, I know sometimes that's more of an elementary area.
But it shouldn't be. Like, that's, I think, right? A part of the problem is like, Bree, you're so spot on. You're highlighting the fact that things come and go and these like fads come, whether it's research supported or not in education, because we're constantly trying to find ways, no matter what year you look at, to reach more students more efficiently, more effectively, get more personalized feedback to them, and then continue to develop them as people, as human beings. And these things are good for us to keep in mind, but when it fits within a framework, that's the only way that for me, I ever found that I can do it consistently. Otherwise it's like, something I do really well for a month or something I do really well for a day, but then I'm like nervous because these other things go to the side. Like small group instruction doesn't have to go away just because we do want it to be more personalized. Do you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely. Yeah. We don't have to, when we have these different shifts and the research is there to support that these shifts, you know, should happen for our young learners. And that's fantastic. But as educators, you know, we don't have to, like you said, throw away everything that we've learned, you know, to implement some new instruction.
So good. Bree, we want to keep on this conversation of education because we were supposed to banter and talk about nothing valuable, but gosh, this was like such a good conversation. We're going to get into our Sunday strategies. While we transition here, I want to encourage everybody in the comments to tag a friend, tag somebody in the Facebook group to come join this conversation. We're going to be talking about content that is relevant K-12, even at the upper levels in that college, university, academia world. So we'll be right back. Let's make sure to continue to support our network. Thank you for joining our Sunday weekly warm-up exclusive to our private Facebook group over at teachbettergroup.com. If you are seeing this video and you're not in our Teach Better exclusive private group, then you're seeing it after the fact. We are not live with you, although we wish we were, but it's a recording of that video. We love streaming exclusively in our private group because that allows for our comments to be within one location. People can interact with those in the comments and those on screen. And we're continuing our conversation here to get some rich conversation about a topic that can support educators K-12. We want to make sure you guys are ready. If you're just tuning tuning in and are making this Sunday strategy segment, do not forget to go and take a peek at the last 19 minutes, because Bree and I have had some really rich discussion, and we didn't mean for it to be education related, but it was. And now we're kind of continue it here. So if you missed that beginning half of the show, no worries, but make sure you catch the recording afterwards. Bree, there are so many different things that I know as an expert you can speak on. You have been in education for quite some time. You have worked in so many different roles, and obviously not only in your day-to-day job supporting students, but in your other job working for the team, you literally see it all and are constantly talking to educators as the incredible expert educator I think you are. So we're going to kind of look at a few different elements here. And if it's okay with you, I want to start with the concept of play, because play, from my understanding, has this connotation that it only exists in the elementary setting, but I don't believe that's true. We have a lot of listeners asking that question. So can you start maybe with that concept? Tell us about what play is. Why are you so passionate about bringing play into the school system?
I'm so passionate because of the neuroscience behind play, just the release of the dopamine. And so I feel like play can mean different things for different people, but just like being able to connect with something that is fun for you. And so it may be, I mean, I see tons of adults who they get into a hobby later on in their life because they are searching for that play aspect, that fun to bring in just joy. And for me, play is something that's joyful. I think that's why we think about it in elementary, because they're the aspect of time. And so maybe as you get older, you have to make time for play, but it is something that I'm passionate about because I feel like whenever you think about learning, you actually learn faster when you're playing versus just being exposed to a topic.
Well, and I think it's interesting, Bree, as you mentioned, and I hear it too, like play being so focused on elementary. I think it's just the word. Like the term play feels like a immature, youthful term. Whereas then you talk to middle school, high school, you know, even professors at the college level, they use words like explore or navigate or, you know, discover. And those words are play. Like it's a situation where you are creating a fun environment for students to be immersed in content in a way that fosters creativity.
As you get older, it might be, play might be in the term of a club, because it's your interest. It's what you're exploring or what you're into. So people, there's actually one of our ambassadors, her son, I'm just going to shout him out right now, has really done a lot of work to get like a esports club going at the middle school level. And so if you think about things like that, it's a way for you to get together and have fun with people and play. But then you take that outside of just the club aspect. And like in our elementary, we have a Minecraft EDU, which is like a Minecraft education. So it's that same form of play, that same fun. But for me, like we did the Minecraft with penguins and explore when we did our Mr. Popper's Penguins. So it does not take too much to connect something that you're already learning, you're already hitting those standards, and bringing in something that's exciting for kids.
Yeah, I think that's where the connection is, that teachers need to start committing themselves to exploring, because we obviously, I think if you ask any teacher, they believe in students having hobbies, they believe in clubs existing in schools, they believe that like we should be fostering students trying new things and like learning who they are as people. The next step is, okay, how do I bring that into my classroom learning environment? And even as Brian mentioned in the comments, sometimes that even feels more easily done depending on the content area, because we may be a little stifled in how that works into maybe a specific academic content, like Brian mentioned in math. I think it's almost less about the content, like that sticking point, I think is our own bias. I think it's more about the how are we learning and how is that information being like consumed, shared, repurposed, discussed, like that being maybe more of a focus to start that process of bringing in play.
I think too, that sometimes play is noisy and loud and can sometimes be a bit not what you would typically see in a classroom setting. So yeah. If somebody is coming in and observing you, that can be really intimidating because it's almost like a freeing thing for children to be involved in play. And so it's not, I want to say it's not bad noise. You know what I mean? It's not kids, you know, just yelling and shouting. It's kids who are excited about being in that space.
Yeah. And you, we all know this, right? If you're worried about chaos ensuing or a classroom getting out of hand, that just means you need more structure on the back end, right? It doesn't mean it can't happen. Like controlled chaos is possible. We see that a lot in discussions. We were talking earlier about the grid method. The grid method is constantly something that's described as an opportunity to learn that has volume as a part of the management element. And, you know, I think that if we're ever nervous about the classroom getting out of hand, we have supports, like in this network, we have supports to make those environments feel more controlled on the teacher side, which can be helpful.
Mm-hmm. And I think like some of your best ways, if you're interested in this, is going and watching a teacher who is doing it in a way that you feel comfortable with. So if you're like, oh, I really love how it works in their space, you know, ask. In our district, we can say, hey, I'd really like to go see so-and-so do this. I've heard they do it really well. And we'll have class coverage. And I know that's so hard right now because there are shortage of teachers. There's, you know, there's not enough subs, but you can't, it doesn't hurt to ask. So yeah. If you, and I feel like that's, you know, that's free PD right in your own building. So if you know there's somebody doing it, you know, just ask to see it in action.
You know, everyone in our Teach Better community that tunes into our lives probably is already aware, but many educators in this community, either via email, direct message, submit listener questions. And listener questions is a specific thing that we do a lot on the Teach Better Today morning show, which is every single morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern, streaming on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn. But we also like to bring them into our Sunday weekly warm-up show as well. And one of these questions, Bree, I think is really fitting for what we're discussing. So this question says, how does play contribute to emotional and mental well-being of students in a school environment? Bree, I know you've really become an expert in this space. You've written books on it, and this is constantly kind of an area that you're focusing on. So what would be your answer to this viewer?
Well, I think that that play helps with regulation, which is something that is one of the biggest behavior management things that we see. It's regulations of emotion. And so play and exercise help us realize like the things in our bodies that either are really, really at a high level, that high, like red energy level, what's calming. There are ways that you can play, like with Play-Doh or with fidgets or those kinds of things that are more of a calming sort of play. So teaching kids like how they're feeling in those spaces can really help with that social emotional regulation. For the social emotional learning part, I love to tie in like activities with books. And I know that that's kind of my other whole thing is, you know, connecting kids with great books, but connecting teachers with books that talk about social emotional learning and then doing a playful activity, I feel like is really gives you a lot of bang for your buck. And if you think you teach middle school and you can't read a picture book, that's not right. that's totally wrong.
They love it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's quick too. I mean, if you want to share, just like share some space with your kids and let them connect with some characters using picture books, I feel like is a really great way to do that.
It says trying to reinstill a sense of play in a high school student has been really challenging. Any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I feel like when kids get older, we think that they need less movement. And I really feel like movement is where in the high school, you're definitely going to see probably more of a like developmentally appropriate form of play. But also like card games. If you teach math, I feel like card games is one of the best ways to kind of bring that in, teaching them different card games. I think going for a walk, that's the trick,
Bree, is like understanding that play at any level has to be grade appropriate. Play doesn't mean we're trying to get high schoolers to do make believe with figurines, right? Yeah. And like, I don't mean that in like to, but I truly think I work with educators that are like, I can't infuse play. My kids are too old. And I'm like, no. We as like adults play constantly. We know high schoolers play too. It just isn't the play that we see coming out of our 7-year-olds, you know, and like, that's okay. And we almost have to re-educate ourselves of what that specific age group, how they play versus trying to use elementary skills at an upper grade level. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. But I also think like some things like connecting those high schoolers with another grade level too, and just letting them see that they can actually bring joy to others might break them out of that sense that they're too old or they don't have anything to kind of offer to the world of play. Like, I feel like we have high schoolers that come and they just like play basketball with kids at recess. But that's another thing. Like, that's my soapbox, is that we take away those times from the older kids because we're afraid we either don't have enough supervision. We think that they're too young for it. But even I feel like middle school, I feel like it's too young to take away their recess time. I feel like they need that time to socialize, to get fresh air every day, to walk around with their friends. Will problems come up? Absolutely, 1000% they will. I mean, that's just the human nature. But also giving them time to do things that will help regulate themselves will help with behaviors in the middle school.
Such good discussion, Bree. I know we had to transition, but we are definitely going to encourage everyone to continue this conversation, not only in the comments, but within the Teach Better community. I would encourage you also, if you have any questions, to continue to post these types of questions in our private Facebook group. That is a group of over 7,000 educators that are all dedicated to being better each and every day. And sometimes looking for strategies might come from educators all around the world putting their brains together. So we'll be right back for our Sunday Spark. All right, friends, in honor of Brad Hughes's birthday, even though he's not here with us on the Sunday show, we definitely want to do our Sunday Spark, which is a segment he created and one that we are always excited to share, something to bring a little smile to your face and maybe something you'll choose to incorporate within your classroom this week. Bree, do you have a favorite animal?
I do.
What is your favorite
animal? It is an owl. Owls are my favorite.
Ooh, if anyone else has a favorite animal, feel free to put those in the comments. It's always good to hear people's ideas. Do you ever feel like your favorite animal changes like month to month? Or have you been like an owl lover forever?
I've been an owl lover forever.
Okay.
For a very long time. But I feel like dogs. I mean, I love dogs too. So.
Well, most of us are animal lovers. I feel as though my favorite animal has changed over time based on experiences I've had. And one of the experiences I've had maybe, I don't know, 10 years ago, was I got to hang out with cows in Scotland, and then Jersey cows became my absolute favorite animal. This Sunday spark has to do with a cow, not a Jersey cow, but a dairy cow in Australia. A brand new baby calf was born in Australia. So cute. If you've not seen a little calf recently, they have like that, you know, really nice furry looking vibe, brand new, walking around with their new crew, but they have a very interesting spot. So this baby cow has a smiley face on his body, and the group that owns this baby cow, and of course their mother and everyone else in their group, jokes that they've seen all different types of spots, right, on a cow, like hearts and numbers, but they have never quite seen such a prevalent smiley face. So celebrating this cow and the long life they're going to have with their beautiful smiley face on their side. I thought that was so funny. We could bring that to our students this week.
It's so cute.
So cute. The other things that we like to celebrate during this time are funny holidays or religious holidays or whatever cultural holidays coming up this week. There are, of course, so many, because as we head into December, as we've mentioned previously, there are great, great things to celebrate. Some reminders, Brie, I always love a good funky one, is that we have a cab day, like a red cab, a wine night. That is coming tomorrow. So maybe it'll be a good deed to have a little glass of a cab, red wine tomorrow, if that suits your fancy. We also have National Ninja Day. I'm sorry, it's International Ninja Day coming up on Tuesday. Brie, will you be celebrating International Ninja Day?
Likely no, but I feel like that would be a good one to share with my students.
Yeah. National Gazpacho Day is the following day. National Miners Day, St. Nicholas Day. There's just like so many fun things to celebrate coming up this week. On Thursday, I believe that is the start of Hanukkah for those Jewish families in your circle who might be celebrating. It's also National Letter Writing Day, National Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day, Flag Day of India. And then let's just see, what's Friday going to look like? Friday, we get into National Brownie Day. Who doesn't love National Brownie Day? That sounds wonderful. There's also a beautiful, looks like a day. Oh my God, I wish I knew what this holiday was. I had to click on it, Brie, because it's something to do with lights. And you know, I'm a sucker for lights. This looks like a holiday celebrating a number of different lights. It's a Japanese holiday. It's BODHI. I don't know this holiday. I have to look this one up. That's really exciting. But they have this whole looking at meditating to a northern India god related to the Buddha tree. It's exciting. So lots of good things happening this week. Lots of different religions too. We talked about Catholicism and Judaism. Now we're looking at cultural different holidays here. We have to always celebrate the people in our lives. So a lot of things to celebrate there. So hope you all find ways to celebrate as we continue to head into December. Brie, do you mind? I know they can always reach out to you here in our community because you're a team member, but will you mind sharing your contact information before we wrap up here in case people want to discuss play further?
Yes, absolutely. I am available at PlayYay on X, and I have Brianne.Fennell on Instagram, and you can always reach me at Brianne@teachbetter.com. Mm-hmm. And I just love talking play. So if you have any, the math topic, like math is one of my favorite ways. So Brian, if you want to reach out, I can give you lots of different games to play with your math. And also, I always like to add that using volunteers in your classroom, if you ever want to know how you can use a volunteer, giving them math games to play is one of my favorite ways to connect that family.
I love that. Great suggestions. Please reach out to Brie. I couldn't say enough nice things about Brie. She's an absolutely wonderful educator, incredible member of our internal Teach Better team. She's the one that helps us make all this happen day to day when you head over to teachbetter.com. So make sure you continue to engage with us in many, many, many places. And for those of you that are headed into maybe a possibly stressful week ahead because it's December, don't stress. We're here for you. And we always have a resource to share in case you have a question in mind. So don't be a stranger. Bye, friends.
Bye.